Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tyler, for the kind words. It's glad to be back with all of you. My wife and I went on vacation, and we missed all of you dearly. So it's glad to be back with the people of God. I kept talking to her about some people that I cherish here. Just great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You can all be seated. First, like to thank all of you for your attendance, not because I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight, not because of I'm holding the mic or anything like that, but because it shows that this church is hungry and it wants to grow and it wants the will of God. I'd also like to thank Pastor for trusting me with this responsibility of speaking to God's people. It's not something I take lightly at all. In fact, when he called me and he asked me to preach tonight, I told him that I feel like I should be the last person he should ask to preach any message, because I just don't feel worthy to stand behind this pulpit. And I know that all the other young men, Brother Colin, Jerome, and all of those who stand behind this pulpit feel the same way. But he told me that that's exactly why we should be behind this pulpit. And I believe that if you preach with me, God will do something miraculous here tonight. My title for tonight is Holy Is He. Holy Is He. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and they're gonna have it on the screens. I'm going to read 7 verses, and it says, "In that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, for the whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.'" Lord willing, I'd like to preach the topic tonight, Holy Is He. And I'm just going to pray over this service real quick. So if you would all stand with me and pray that God's blessing is over this service. God, we're thankful to be in the house of the Lord this evening. And God, I ask, Lord, that as I speak tonight, God, you speak into the hearts and the lives of your people. God, I don't want one word that I say to come from this body, but Lord, but to come from you and directly from you, God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that whatever the words that are spoken, God, wherever they fall, let them fall, Lord. God, we want your perfect divine will to happen in this place tonight, and nothing more and nothing less, God. Lord, I pray that as I speak, your people are here to listen. God, I know that your people have shown up tonight and have tuned in online to hear your word, oh God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that as the word goes forth, God, whether it's in here or in children's church, God, it happens, Lord, exactly how you need it to, oh Lord. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you've already done and all that you are going to do. In the marvelous name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord tonight? Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to go through a couple of scripture breakdowns in those 7 verses. And the first one, the train of his robe has filled the temple. It's a small representation of how great God is. And it shows that when he enters a room, he fills it. There's not a part in this room right now where he is not at. You see, it's not just this room. It's not just the foyer. It's not just even just the restrooms. It's the whole ground of the church that he has filled. You see, the only thing that we have to do is acknowledge that he is here. God has opened a door and he has walked through it, and it is our responsibility to walk through it as well. You see, whether we walk through that door or not, God is still going to move. Whether or not we feel the goosebumps up our back or not, he's still going to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. But if we, as the body of Christ, each and every one of us, realize that he is here and realize how holy he is, there is no saying how far he can go. It doesn't matter if you've had the Holy Ghost for one day or your whole life. He is holy, and he wants to fill your temple with his love and his spirit. You see, I believe that we can also look at that scripture and say, God, fill my temple tonight. God, my body is meant to be a representation of you and your kingdom and your morals and what you are. But God, how can I be that if I'm not full of you? You see, every day I wake up, I ask the God, Lord, fill me up. We just sang a song, God, fill me up. God, fill me up till I overflow. I want to be so full of his glory, so full of his peace, that when I walk into Pastor Tyler's house, that him and his family begin to feel it as well. I want to be so full of his love and his peace that when I go into a desert place such as work, where there's disgusting morality, where there's disgusting language, that when I walk in there, the peace that surpasses all understanding surpasses all disgust. That's how holy I want to be. But it's not because me, Matt Weiland, is holy. It's because I've cleansed myself so God can come in and heal me and make me holy. You see, there's not a person in this room that is holy by themselves. People are only made holy because the scripture says, be holy for I am holy. But how do we do that? We cleanse ourselves by repentance. We cleanse ourselves by going down in the watery grave and wiping away all of our sin. And then we get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You see, that is how we become holy. Once we do those things, there's no limit on what God can do in our life. And it's because he is holy. You see, the church and everybody else in the world today has most likely forgotten just how holy he truly is. You see, I'm a firm believer that just because I claim to be a Christian and I follow the godly morals that I learned in Sunday school, I believe that if I've done all those things, I still can be made not holy. You see, we live in a day and age today where we can follow every biblical standard and we can follow every ounce of godly morality and still fall to the world. But in that same breath, we serve a God that has always been holy, that will always be holy. And when you fall into that temptation, when you fall into that lie, when you fall into that sin, you can turn back to God and he's still going to remain the same amount of holiness as when you left. And I believe that because he is holy, he can take away every sin that you've done. He can wipe away every tear of despair, every heartache, every amount of pain, because holy is he. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see, we know this means that God's spirit surrounds all of us. It surrounds the earth from here to Japan, to Hawaii, to Canada, to Mexico, to Iraq, to Israel, to every corner of the earth. We understand that. We understand God is omnipresent. We understand that when I am down low, he is low with me. When I'm on the mountain high, he is on the mountain high standing next to me. We understand that. But it shows just how close he wants to be to his people and his creation that he loved so much that he died for it. It shows how much he wants to be involved in our life, that he has surrounded the earth with his glory and love. You see, I'm glad I serve a God that no matter where I'm at in my life, no matter where I'm at in the world, whether I'm here in Jefferson, Ohio, or I'm in Israel or in Canada or in Indiana or whatever state or whatever country, He is there. I'm glad that I serve a God that whether I'm in a place that made it illegal for me to cry out, I can still get on my knees and He's going to hear me. I'm glad that that's the God I serve. God's Spirit is all over. It's here right now. But it's up to you to feel it. It's up to you to respond to the voice of God tonight. It's up to us, the people of Christ, to have a desire to hear from Him. His Spirit can be all around, but we may sometimes never feel it. And that's the truth. Just because you're thirsty and you get in the shower doesn't mean that you're taking a glass of water and drinking it. Just means that you feel the water on your body. It's the same concept. Just because you walked in here to church tonight doesn't mean that you feel God. You may know God is all over you, but you may not feel Him. We have an obligation to respond to God tonight and understand just how holy He is. And wherever you are in your life, whether your marriage is falling apart, whether you're on the brink of a mental breakdown, that you can still turn to God and say, God, I'm here on my knees and I'm begging You for mercy. I'm begging You for grace. And at the sound of His voice being, of His name being called out, His Spirit can fall on you. However, our greatest failure as people of God is simply this. It is not realizing just how great and how holy He is. See, that is our greatest failure as people of Christ. Not knowing or not realizing how holy He really is. Now, I understand. God is holy beyond measure. I understand He is holy beyond full being able to comprehend it. I understand that. However, God shows His glory in some way, shape, or form. And I'll tell you what, every time in my life God has shown me His glory, I have been surprised every time. God has never ceased to surprise me with how great He is or how holy He really is. Because at the snap of a finger, He's pulled me out of dark places. He's pulled me out of despair more times than I could count. And every time He's done so, I've been surprised, I've been thankful, and I've been shocked at how great and how many times He can do it. However, that is not a get-out-of-jail card. That's not saying that just because God is holy and He can pull me out of that season that I can go and do whatever I feel like it. That is not how the glory of God works. That is not how His forgiveness works. It is meant to be if I need it, it's there type of a situation. That's what it's meant to be. Not I'm going to go out and live this lifestyle and on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, I'm going to ask for forgiveness about the same thing I did last week. That's not what it's about. In 1 Peter, Cole, I didn't give you this scripture, but in 1 Peter 1, 5 and 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says that scripture, but as He who called you is holy. You see, everybody's got a calling on their life. In men's Bible study a couple weeks ago, somebody had mentioned that each man is called to be a leader of their home. You see, the one who called us to be leaders of our home is holy. The one who has called every woman to be a mother and wife is meant to be holy. The one that is holy has called all of us to do something, and that is to be holy. Finishes that scripture and it says, you also be holy in your conduct. That means be holy in everything you do. If I go into work and I hear somebody listening to terrible rap music that's talking about violence and terrible language, I am still required by God to be holy in that moment. We have an obligation as the church, and if we want to call ourselves people of God, we have to remain holy in the most unholy places of our life. You see, it says here, because it is written, for be holy, for I am holy. You see, that simply says, be holy because God is holy. And that goes back to saying that if we're going to be temples of God, that we have to be full and holy like God. You see, somebody told me once that God is full of himself. And I absolutely love that quote because God is full of love. God is full of holiness. God is full of peace that surpasses all understanding, Brother Jerome. And I'm glad that the God I serve is full of himself. Because I know that when I call upon him on Monday, and I call on him again on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, he's never going to run out, and he's never going to run dry. You see, to be holy, it means to be set apart, and he is exactly that. God is set apart from all sin. He is set apart from all vulgarity. He is set apart from every amount of sin that the world from beginning to end can amount. And it is because he is holy. He is set completely apart from the power, practice, and presence of sin. The only time God is near sin is when he forgives us of it. It's the only time God is near sin. And I put that in parentheses because he doesn't even get near it. All he does is say, you want forgiveness? Here it is. Your sins are as far from the east as from the west. You see, and how can he do so? Because he is holy. The church today needs to be reminded that no matter where you are in life, he is still holy. He still reigns on high every day of the week. He still sits on the most high throne above every disaster, above every situation that you go through in life. He still is holy. And I know that as people that pride ourselves in being busy, it can be very easy to let each and every day become mundane. You see, I'm not a person that prides myself in being busy, but I'm an extremely busy person. My wife can attest to that, and she tells me, along with many other people, that I'm too busy. And it's probably true, but it's probably true for the rest of us in this room. A lot of times we find ourselves too busy to take 5 minutes of our day and just be thankful that God brought us to that day. You see, sometimes it can be easy to find Monday through Friday mundane and then get here on Sunday and have a mundane service because we're already looking forward to what we're going to do after church. We're so focused on that we're forgetting why we're here. We're forgetting why we're here to serve God, to love on him, to worship him, to cry out to him. You see, people are so driven and controlled by their schedules, plans, and calendars that we forget how holy he is. You see, every day can seem to fly by. By raise of hands, how many people have said that this year? That the days are just flying by. I've said it probably 100 times this year. And it's true. We're already past 6 months out of the year. Time's flying by. Seems like just yesterday we were all complaining about how cold it was. And now we're all complaining that our AC's not keeping up because it's so hot outside. But what if we just slowed down and thank God for the seasons that we do have? What if we slowed down and thank God for the AC that is running? What if we just slowed down and realized how great and holy he is? I believe we would live in a world if we did that if we slow down for 5 minutes a day or even 10 minutes a week or whatever it is, that if we slow down for a short time and just thank God and just thanked him for being holy, being who he is, that we would live in a world full of gratitude and not greed. You see, I told somebody one time that there is one major problem in this world that if we took it away, it would solve most of our problems. And that's greed. You take greed out of the equation of this life, and there's no more people fighting over job opportunities. There's no more people fighting over money or materialistic things because people are just happy to have what they have. And I'll tell you what, I'm happy to have a God in my life that forces me to slow down every day. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a minute or one prayer meeting with God to ask him to help slow you down. It takes dedication on our own end. Instead of picking up that book that we love to read or turning on that TV for that baseball game or that movie again that you've seen probably 5 times, what if we put it all down and just thanked God? After everything he's done in our life, after everything he's pulled us out of, all the darkness, out of despair, out of drugs, out of addiction, out of depression, out of anxiety, out of terrible job positions that we were in that were tearing us out of the church. After all that, have we really reduced God to just a friend and an advisor? That's a question you must ask yourself. Maybe not tonight, maybe in the prayer closet tomorrow. But ask God, Lord, have I fallen so far from knowing how holy you are that you're just a friend to me now? That you're just an advisor when I need somebody to talk to? You see, I know God is there for seasons like that, but God is more than a friend and a counselor. God is a comforter. God is reliable. God has never failed. God is never, never, never weary. You see, God is so much more than just a friend, an advisor, or a counselor. Realizing his holiness, the sacredness of holiness is where our relationship needs to begin with the Lord. You see, every time we step into a prayer room, just like Moses did with the burning bush, he took off his sandals. Every time we step into our prayer room, it is to be treated as holy ground, a sacred place, a place where no distraction can break in. You see, I have one distraction in my prayer room, and it's my cat. I was typing some of these notes up, and this is serious. My wife was there. The cat just kept jumping in my lap over and over and over again. And you know what happens if I try to put her out of the room and close the door? She runs into the door. She does not meow. She just runs into the door. But with that being said, even if there is a distraction in your prayer room, such as your cat, or your child, or your dog, or whatever it is, we still have to block it out and dig into the Word and dig into our prayer life. But it is still to be treated as holy ground, because every moment with the Lord is a holy moment. When His holiness overwhelms us and the peace of God follows after, that's when we begin to find what we are seeking for. And that's because we escape reality and we get brought to a supernatural place with God that no distraction can break in. No voice can overspeak what God is speaking in that moment. And that is when God has your full attention and you can fully receive what you are looking for. Isaiah found and received God's calling in this exact position. He recognized how holy God is and recognized his uncleanliness. You see, before we step into the prayer room, we should just ask God, Lord, before I step into this room, I want my mind to be made clear. I want my spirit to be open for what you have to say to me before I even go into this room. And that's when we should step in. You see, Isaiah, He realized and recognized his uncleanliness, so the angel of God picked up a stone of coal that was burning and cleansed his lips, and then he was clean. Now, please do not go home and pick up a burning coal out of the fireplace and touch your lips with it. That's not what I'm saying. But please ask God to cleanse you before you can step into that prayer room. You see, God is so holy that he will send somebody to check your spirit sometimes. You see, God is so holy that he sees a situation in your life that's about to happen before you do, and he's going to send somebody to you that you may not even know or you may not even like, and they're going to give you a word, and they're going to warn you of the season that is to come. You see, that's how holy God is, that he sees the future and the past, and he doesn't even have to learn from the past because he sees your future. None of us in this room are worthy to know how holy God truly is. None of us are worthy to stand in his presence today. None of us are worthy to stand and play this beautiful guitar, Pastor Tyler. None of us are worthy to even step foot in this church. However, he opens up the doors. He opens up the opportunities. He opens up everything in our life to show you his love, grace, mercy, and how holy he is. And that's because he loves us. Something that we're not worthy of being in or being a part of, he opens the door. And I thank God that that door was open in my life many years ago. You see, however, God allows us to dance in his presence. God allows us to have a small understanding of how great he is. You see, there's a song that I'm going to dance before the Lord like nobody's watching. And I believe that the church today should do exactly that. Just dance like nobody's watching, like you don't even care. I know it might look goofy, it might look crazy, but after all God has done for you in your life, why would we not dance before the Lord like David danced? Why would we not dance with our eyes closed and spinning around like nobody's watching? After all God has done for my life, I thank God for him every single day. It's been on my heart for the last several weeks, and I've just been thinking of how great God has been in my life. I believe we all need to be reminded of where we once were, where we didn't have God in our life, where we were lost, broken, and hopeless at one point. But God sent somebody along. Whether it was a postcard or a youth invite or a rally invite or just a phone call, God sent somebody to save you in your most unsavable time. That is how holy God is, that he can send somebody to help save you in what seems like an unsavable time. There was a man named Doss on a mountain one time in World War II, and he saved over 100 men that were dying on a mountain in World War II. Saved over 100 people that seemed to be unsavable. Everybody else left, but this gentleman, Doss, stayed and saved people. See, sometimes God is going to require us to be that one person that stays in the fight and saves everybody else around us. However, at the end of the day, when all that is said and done, God hasn't forgotten that you need saving as well. And that's when he steps in and he reaches his loving arm out and he says, "Here am I, young child. Grab my hand and I will pull you out of this despair." And that is when we realize how holy he is. You see, when you were living in sin, he was holy. You see, when you were living in despair, guess what? He was holy. We may never have a full understanding of how holy he really is, but when your life is falling apart, all you want to see is God's holiness. You see, when your job is on the rocks, all you want to see is God's holiness. How ironic is it that when our life is terrible and going down the drain, all we want to see is his holiness? but we never want to see it any other day of the week. You see, we need to check our spirits tonight and say, God, don't ever let me fall so far where I can't see your holiness, where I can't see how great you really are. You see, when our problems arise, whether it's when it's the adversary attacking your marriage, he is holy. When your child says that they don't love you anymore because they're frustrated and it tickles you the wrong way, he is still holy. When your boss gets up in your face and he curses every curse word at you, he is holy. And there's nothing stopping you from going to the bathroom or going to another machine for a moment and say, God, I need to see your holiness in my workplace today. God, I need to see your holiness in my temple right here. I need to see it right here, God, because if my workplace is going to change, I need to be full of your holiness first. I'm glad to serve a God that is so mighty and so holy that when I'm failing and I'm falling apart, he never failed. I'm glad to serve a God that when I'm falling apart, he's got it all together for me. That's the God I'm happy to serve each and every day. If he tells me to go, I'm going to go. Because when I was back there living in sin, he had it all together. You see, today you can still call his name and he will answer his call. Today you can start all over because his holiness is everlasting. His holiness allows peace in the middle of a storm. You see, holiness isn't just a word. To say holy, holy, does anybody know what it means in the Hebrew language? To say holy, holy? Good, you're going to learn something today. It means the most holy. And if you add a third holy to it, guess what it means? The most high holy above them all. And in that scripture, it says holy, holy, holy. The most high amount of holiness is our God. When it's all said and done, and you lay your head tonight, he's still going to be holy. At this time, the musicians can make their way up. I'm going to coast to a close. Today, he is holy. Tomorrow, he's going to be holy. Next week, when you're struggling to get out of bed and you do it anyways and you get up and you pray, he's going to be holy. I'm glad that my God that I serve each and every day is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, he is everlasting and he is never changing. Isn't that ironic? People can switch their personalities in a day, but God never changes. That's why God is the most reliable. When we meet him face to face one day, he is going to be the most holy. The great thing about our Lord and Savior being holy is that sometimes he will send along a little reminder to each and every one of his people that he is still holy and that he still reigns on high. You see, each and every day when I wake up and I thank God for another day, I want to tell him, God, don't ever let me forget where you brought me from. God, not because I did anything to deserve it, but because you are holy and you had other plans for me. Because he is holy, I stand here today to tell you that he has plans for you. Because he's got plans for somebody else that you need to talk to. He is holy amongst everything in this life. When it's all said and done, we're not going to take any of this with us. But we're going to get to meet him face to face and say, God, thank you for being holy. God, thank you for being reliable in times I wasn't. He sends little reminders to his people that he still sits there waiting for you to call his name, saying, God, I just need to see you today. God, my life is falling apart, and I just need to see you. God, it's so dark in here, I can't see. You see, there are two encounters that people were healed of blindness in the Bible. One man had mud spat in his eye, and then he was healed. Yesterday, Brandon, in Bible study, we learned about the second. The man had flakes fall from his eyes, and then he began to speak in the Holy Ghost. That is God's holiness right there. To take away a physical ailment, and then somebody instantly receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's how great He is. Whatever you need today, God is still holy. Let's stand to our feet tonight. As you come to the altar, just praise His name. God, you are holy. God, you have always been holy and remain holy. None of us are worthy to understand, God, that you are holy and how holy you are. But God, I'm thankful that you opened the door for me to step through it and feel your holiness tonight. Tonight, as they sing, let's just sing our song of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. May your mercy reign tonight. Hallelujah.
And I saw the Lord was crowned on throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high, and the train circled round him. Oh, yes. And cried, you are holy, oh so as the angels. 'cause you are worthy of all praise. Then my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Oh, is the name above all names.
Such a wonderful word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just go before the Lord as we just close the service out tonight. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you, God, for what a wonderful word tonight. It's a challenging word, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray for each and every one that was here tonight, Lord Jesus, as the world continues to just push us and push us to be like them, Lord, that we can just stand strong, Lord, that we can lean on one another. And we can strive to be holy, Lord, just as you are holy, Jesus. God, I pray that, Lord, it starts with the heart. It starts with the relationship with you, Lord. And God, we just need you. We need you every day. And we need our church family, Lord. And we just thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.